Serving veterans from sea to shining sea. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler. Brought to you by this local station and its sponsors. And presented everywhere on the air and online by Paul Everett's RV Country. With 8 locations in 5 western states.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes. We've heard 90-year-old Leo Neubauer of Centerville, Iowa, describe some of his experiences with the 38th Infantry Division in World War II, including that nightmare night in a foxhole in the Philippines, making makeshift bandages to tend to his wounds inflicted by a Japanese bomb. The men of the 38th became known as the Avengers of Bataan, and we got a glimpse of what that meant from Bataan Death March survivor Adelano David. Now we're back to Leo. He was still in the Philippines when the Japanese surrendered in August of 1945. And here's one reason that came as a big relief to Leo.
They just trained us to be paratroopers.
Really?
I said, hey, this ain't for me. They take you up there, pull you up there, drop you out.
So they were training you guys, and the implication was you're going to jump behind enemy lines into mainland Japan?
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like a very good odds of survival, and that's what you were thinking.
That's what I was thinking. That's why I was thinking of getting the hell out of there.
Yeah. So then they dropped the atomic bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. How do you feel about that? What's your perspective on that?
Boy, I tickled death.
You think it saved your life?
Yeah, I do.
What was it like to come home?
Good.
You got to be in your brother's wedding? But he looked a little different, huh? What happened to him in Europe?
Oh, he got shot twice.
Shattered his jaw. So you're the best man for a groom who's had his face blown up.
Oh, no, you can't tell it. Only say if you know it, there's a little scar. Otherwise, you can't tell it. You would never know it. And he talked a mile a minute.
Still? At 96?
Yes. He took your leg right off you.
Well, he sounds like somebody that I should try to get on the program if I ever catch up to him. There's a photo of both of you brothers with your folks during World War II at hometownheroesradio.com and the Hometown Heroes Facebook page. And there's another shot, a great photo of you and your wife, Pat. And I understand the only reason you guys met was one of your co-workers needed some help to convince his date to go to the movies?
He was going to take her to the show, but she wouldn't go unless Pat went along with her.
Uh-huh.
And he said, well, I got a friend that I'll take.
And you're heading toward your 66th anniversary?
Yeah.
You want to give me the secret to being married for 66 years? I'm sure I'm not the only one who would like to know.
Well, we get along, we argue, fight. But we always come back together.
Well, I've got to ask you about the honor flight. Sorry it took me so long to get to this. So 2009, in fact, we're in the office here at the Medicap Pharmacy in Urbandale, Iowa. The owner of this pharmacy is a guy named John Forbes, who's also in the state legislature here in Iowa. And in 2009, he was one of the founders of Central Iowa Honor Flight. And you were on the very first flight. They've taken more than 2,000 veterans, but you were one of the first. What was that experience like for you?
Well, I didn't know what was going to happen, but it was really good. I seen all the monuments of Vietnam and Korean War.
What struck you the most? What was the most meaningful?
The Statue of Nebraska.
So when you got to the World War II Memorial, and every state has its own pillar, you zeroed in on Nebraska.
Of course, I looked at Iowa, too.
They have those pillars for each state, and half of it says Pacific, and half says Atlantic. They've got the big fountain in the middle. They've got something by that fountain that a lot of guys seem to gravitate toward and stirs some emotions in them. There's 4,000 gold stars there. Each of them signifies 100 lives lost in World War II. What did you think of when you looked at that?
Well, it's all a shame, but what do you do? There's nothing you can do about it but think. Then finally when you walk away, you forget. You have to forget. That's why I never talk about anything like that. I've got a son waiting for me over in Ogden right now. He's going to ask me about what you're asking me, because I've never told him that.
You haven't talked about your time in the Army much over the years. Why not?
Because I don't want to talk about it. Killing ain't my deal.
You don't want to remember what you saw, what you had to do?
I hate for that.
I'm not trying to get you to tell me anything that you don't want to.
I won't.
I believe you. I am curious in thinking about that wall of gold stars representing the 406,000 Americans who didn't come home. You told us a story about December 7th
when you and three of your buddies were down by the creek, and one of those guys was killed in the war.
Dodd Schomer.
Did you think about him while you were there at that memorial?
Oh, yes. I'll never forget Dodd.
Have you ever wondered what his life would have been like if he had made it home from the war?
Well, yeah. All the rest of them are dead. Except me, I know one of the four left.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you're one of the last World War II veterans left. There were 16 million of you to begin with, and there are fewer than a million now. And I want to thank you for serving our country, and thank you for telling us about it.
Oh, well, this is more I talked about than I've ever talked to.
You've said more today than you ever have before?
And I won't say any more.
How about this? What would you say you're most proud of?
Being a member of the Armed Force.
You've made it very clear that this isn't something that you've dwelled on or wanted to talk about or made a big deal out of your whole life. But that honor flight experience, going with so many other veterans, seeing how people received you and thanked you and celebrated you, did it make you feel like what you did mattered?
Yeah, and to this day yet, they see that cap.
Your World War II veteran cap.
And they'll come up and thank me and shake my hand.
What does that mean to you?
They appreciated it.
Well, we do appreciate it, Leo. And for you at home, Leo's story mirrors so many veteran stories. I heard a wise man say this week that we should do for the one what we wish we could do for the many. And really, every time you thank a veteran, you are doing just that. In the case of the Honor Flight Network, what started as one kind gesture for one World War II veteran in Ohio in 2005 has turned into a nationwide network of volunteers who have flown thousands and thousands of veterans to their memorials in Washington, D.C. It has touched countless lives, including Leo's, as you heard, and one of the founders of the local Honor Flight Hub in Iowa that took Leo on that journey of a lifetime is John Forbes. He was kind enough to let me interview Leo in his pharmacy in Urbandale, Iowa, and also share what 7 years' worth of honor flights have taught him.
Well, we started this back in 2009. A good friend of mine kind of got myself and Jeff Ballinger hooked up from Omaha Council Bluffs area. Sat down and brainstormed, and our goal was to just take one plane of World War II veterans to Washington, D.C. And to date, we've taken over 2,000 from Central Iowa.
Wow.
The community's been overwhelmingly supportive of this program over the past few years. And
you do it on a pretty big scale here. You're taking 400 at a time?
Yeah, all of our trips that we've taken out of Des Moines, we charter 747s. And the last trip, we took about 400 veterans. Some were World War II. Majority of them were Korean War veterans, though.
Mm-hmm. And Leo here was on your very first flight in 2009.
Yes, that was a very memorable day in Washington, D.C. It was in the August of 2009, a very, very warm day in Washington, D.C. I remember, I think the temperature was 97 degrees.
And oh.
We had some concerns about these gentlemen, you know, that most of them are in their 80s and some 90-year-old men, and they all did fantastic.
What made you want to do this? Where did the idea come from?
Well, I had two uncles that served in World War II. One was in the South Pacific, and one was actually at Pearl Harbor when it was bombed.
Wow.
And I sat down with them numerous times over the years in my teenage years and early 20s, and we visited about their experiences. And when this came to my knowledge, my good friend Jeff Ballinger was working in the Omaha Council Bluffs area. I just felt compelled to do something for these, which I call the greatest generation.
But you said you're just trying to take one flight. So how has it turned into 2,000? What happened here in Des Moines?
We had such an overwhelming support from the community. You know, after we did our first flight, we took 350 veterans, and we had a waiting list probably about 200 that couldn't go. So we put out the notice that we were looking for more funding, and we ended up taking another flight later that year, another 747 with 350 veterans, and it just kind of grew from there. And Jeff and I actually went down to Texas and helped Texas get an honor flight going down there. So we took, I think, 300 or 400 veterans in that flight, too, also.
I mean, you're a pharmacist. You're a state legislator here in Iowa. But I can tell that honor flight is a passion of yours and something that you've stayed involved with. What has it taught you? What have you learned from all these flights and all these veterans?
You know, I've talked to dozens of them about their experiences and what they sacrificed to allow me to be a businessman here in my community, to allow me to represent my state. And without the dedication and the sacrifice that these young men at the time did for our country, I don't know if I would have the lifestyle I currently have, or even maybe have ever been born.
Absolutely. And Leo has, I think, 22 people that would have never been born if he didn't come home as a teenager from the Philippines. And I'm curious for you, because Honor Flight is so much about honoring the past and honoring what these men did and making sure they have a chance to go see their memorial that's dedicated to all their compatriots who didn't come home from the war. But do you see an impact on the current times and on the future? Do you see things happening that maybe you didn't expect to happen when you just sought to honor these guys and get them there?
Well, one of the things that I see happening with, at least from the family side, is many of the veterans that go on these trips have not really been too open about their experiences with the war. And when they come back, we get letters and phone calls from family members saying, you know, Dad had a great time. You know, we got back on the trip. We sat down, and Dad really opened up about what he really did in the war. And the families are so appreciative of knowing that history. And a lot of them have said, you know, without this experience, you know, my father may not have ever opened up and really told his family members what he went through during that period when he was overseas.
And it's so cathartic for them when they do, and it's so informative for the rest of us when we understand that price that was paid for our freedom. And I'm curious for you specifically, since you are in the political realm, and I'm not trying to put thoughts in your head or words in your mouth, but it seems to me what I've seen is that in a world where there's so much division and so much disagreement, and maybe it's not as bad here because I understand you're the first Democrat elected in a Republican district here in Iowa, but I see Honor Flight and this cause of getting our veterans to their memorials as the one thing that everybody agrees on. Republican, Democrat, no matter where you're from, what your last name is, what you look like, it seems like this is one thing that everyone can get behind. Is that how it's happened here in Iowa?
Yeah, we, like you say, we started with just a group of about four of us back in 2009, and it's grown into this huge organization taking hundreds and hundreds of veterans. But I also, you know, have a lot of my colleagues in the House that are Republican and Democrat, of course, and I've taken both sides of the aisle on these trips to Washington, D.C., and all of them have come back to me and say, John, that's the most amazing experience I've ever had in my lifetime, is to honor these men and a few women we do take along, too, at their memorials in Washington, D.C., and being able to see the tears come down their cheeks as they stand in front of the World War II Memorial.
And is there, maybe this is hard, but out of all the trips that you've taken and all the veterans you've interacted with and all the moments that you guys have planned and the moments you haven't planned back there, is there one thing that has happened that kind of meant the most to you or is the most memorable and it gives you goosebumps even now just thinking about it?
Well, I remember, I think it was probably on the third trip, I was pushing a gentleman. He liberated the German prison camps, and the one he talked about was in Dachau. And he said that he got there about 2 days after it had been liberated, and he said he went over and touched the ovens where they used to incinerate the bodies, and he said that sent chills up his spine, and he said he saw the dead bodies in the rail cars, and he said, you know, the people that say that this was all a hoax and didn't happen, he says, I saw it with my eyes. And the other thing he told me is he went into the commandant's office, and he said he saw a lampshade made out of human skin, and he said, you know, here I am. He says, I'm a 20-year-old soldier seeing this. And he says it's still ingrained into my mind like it happened yesterday.
Powerful stuff.
It's been an honor and a privilege to be able to serve the greatest generation in this country. It's allowed me to really reflect on the freedoms I have as a citizen here in our country and how thankful I am to be able to live the life I have today. And it's because of these courageous men who, 400,000 of them, gave their lives up for this country, and we should be so grateful for these men and all of our military that have served our country over the last few generations.
And for those who are serving right now, absolutely. That's John Forbes. You'll find a photo of John with Leo Neubauer, one of the more than 2,000 veterans he's helped to see their memorials, at hometownheroesradio.com, where you'll also find a link to the Honor Flight Network. Wherever you're listening today, there is a group of volunteers making this possible for our vets. So sign up the veterans in your life, and if it resonates with you, do what John did. Use your time, your talents, or your treasure to honor these special men and women before it's too late. Thanks for listening to Hometown Heroes today. I'm Paul Leffler, reminding you again, as you heard John articulate so gratefully, that freedom is not free.